from spirit to spirit, soul to soul, self to self, greetings of love from the island of Maui. The holiday season is the time when social, political, and economic prognosticators all take the pulse of the human race and prescribe new remedies to replace the old remedies that failed the year before. We see this phenomenon year after year. The same problems seem to pop up, always with new variations. Then the old authorities fade away, and new experts step into the spotlight with bright new proposals. And so the human masquerade continues. No one seems to inquire what God's solutions might be. The idea that God might have a plan does not seem to occur to our human authorities. And so, with the greatest of intentions and the highest ideals, they blithely ignore the one consciousness in which all the answers can be found. Last month at the meeting over here in Hawaii called the International Conference on World Planning, there was a Mr. Aurelio Pecci, a very charming gentleman. He's the founder of the Club of Rome and chairman of the Committee for Atlantic Economic Cooperation, and before a packed house of many world leaders in economics, he advocated a new direction for mankind, a direction that would help overcome the tense, explosive pressures of the growing world, the population explosion, the strained economies, the depletion of natural resources, the worldwide militarization, and the conflicts between and within developed countries and undeveloped nations. And to solve these very complex problems, Mr. Pecci warned that only the United States, Canada, and Western Europe are qualified because they have a developed state of nationalism, and therefore they can think with less of a personal motive. That was his opinion. Unfortunately, when we put Mr. Pecci's plans under the spotlight of spirit, we see why human plans always miserably fail from one generation to the next. The hopes are high, motives are pure, but invariably, all global planners seem to fall into the same trap. They have two creators, God and for some reason that is inexplicable to me, they ignore God. And they ignore God's creation. And so they do not offer truth, because truth can only come from God, and only through the Christ, never through a human being. And so they do not enter into the conscious union with God that produces the intelligence required, the divine intelligence. And so we go on without truth. The world continues adrift, and the best brains on earth continue to violate divine truth by the simple process of ignoring it. Now there is another error, perhaps even greater. When we limit our solutions to human wisdom, human reason, human judgment, there is no possible success. And then there's still an even deeper problem, which is largely unrecognized by all the nations in our world. When you work in the dream creation and try to solve problems in this dream creation, you're working in a fabric not made by God, not ruled by God, and all you're really trying to do is to change the dream instead of trying to awaken from it. In the dream, we're concerned about one thing, material form, and usually our own. And we're concerned about the life of material form. But we're not concerned about the life of God. All we're interested in is improving the flesh that passes. We're interested in improving the seeming external world, the world of matter that moves in time. And even if we spend billions in money, time, labor, we labor in vain. Because when you work in a dream fabric, trying to correct the problems of the dream, all you can end up with are dream solutions. There's another brilliant writer, a Mr. Alvin Toffler. Perhaps you know him as the author of the best-selling book called Future Shock. Now, Alvin is a brilliant man. He has some very cogent comments on the world scene, which to me illustrate how subtly some of our best thinkers fall into the trap of substituting human ideas for divine ideas, not even realizing what they're doing, and then wondering why the human plans go astray. Here are some of Alan's thoughts. And normally you'd say, well, what's wrong with that? It's beautiful. The man's right on. Let's look at it closely. Alan says, today's crises of the cities, of energy, values, nuclear families, racial discrimination, health services, labor, population, aging, feminism, education, and ecology are not isolated American concerns, but they are international and interrelated throughout the industrial world. They add up to an upheaval in history, equal in magnitude, if not greater than, the Industrial Revolution of 300 years ago or the Neolithic Revolution of 10,000 years ago. I believe industrial society is in its terminal crisis. We're shifting off our base into a new base, a new level. A new level of technological and business and human development, and we've got to invent new institutions, a whole new political and economic structure to handle the high speed of change. Not in one cataclysmic cough, but in curative procedures. Just as our founding fathers recognized a civilization shift and cast their lot with the future, so must we. Sounds corny, but I think we're entering a couple of decades of tremendous social turbulence, and we've never gone into a new era with so many thoughtful, educated, decent people. Millions of Americans are ready for change. A world in which one quarter dominates the other three quarters is outdated, as in a civilization that has fouled its nest. In other words, we'd better not mess with the biosphere, nor kick people around anymore. Put together those two realizations, and we've got the makings of a pretty decent planet. What's your prognosis of chances? I'm convinced, chemically optimistic, and what else can I be? I'm an American. Now that's very impressive. It's educated, it's intellectual, it's avant-garde. And it appears to the young intellectuals who may be scanning the words and not the substance. But I would like to point out that Mr. Toffler is not the writer of those words. The world mind, using Mr. Toffler as its instrument, is giving 6 million readers the same dream thought that has tranquilized mankind since Adam and Eve made the mistake of obeying a talking serpent. What world is Mr. Toffler talking about? Is he talking about God's creation or about this world? Do you plan to live in this world and to spend your lifetime trying to patch it up? Or do you wish to live in the creation of God? Please, catch this important distinction. God's creation is now perfect. It is now here. It has ever been here. Your job and mine is to live in it, not to live in the world that needs patching up, not to live in the world that is not your Father's kingdom. Patching up this world will not make it the kingdom. That's the mistake, the cosmic deception that has been fooling all of mankind since the beginning of civilization. Instead of living in reality, we try to patch up the illusion, not realizing that we are merely trying to improve the imitation. Instead of living, breathing, walking now in the genuine spiritual creation. Now here's the pattern. First, the world mind creates the appearance of a problem. And then the same world mind speaks to us through a person and lures us into a solution for the dream problem. And so we win every war and we lose every peace. We always deceive ourselves that tomorrow is going to be better. Consistently, we pour all our energies into the dream creation that dies. There can be no solution to the suffering of mankind until we are guided by divine truth. And there can be no divine truth, no spiritual communication, between God and human flesh. There can be no divine revelation of God's perfect will until we recognize that Christ is now on earth the peace we want, the freedom we want, the harmony we want, the life we want are not human, because they are subject to the whims of the world. Our peace, our freedom, our harmony, our life depends on Christ, not on human thinkers who do not know that reality never needs correction. Reality only needs to be revealed, and only Christ can reveal it. We don't have to wait for the present crop of global planners to fade out of sight and for new advanced planners to tell us what went wrong the year before. We know what's wrong. The world is suffering from spiritual starvation. It has material indigestion on a global scale. We're so hypnotized by our own human egos, our own human desires, that we have failed to recognize that the most advanced thinkers of all time are nothing compared to the one divine thinker who gave us the one perfect solution, the only solution that will work for every problem now on this earth. Follow me. We've heard it. We've seen it. We've read it. We've even thought about it. But still, we turn away from those two words to others who are separated from God, and then we have to lick our wounds and wonder why the great advice of our human authorities did not work. Follow me. That was said to a world buried in material sense, material problems, material shortages, material heartbeats, material frustrations, material lifespans, material wars, diseases, and disasters. The Christ mind offered that solution to a world that could not hear. The best solution, because it is the only solution prescribed by God. The only solution that can terminate the endless procession of problems that are always baffling the human mind. Follow me. Follow me into heaven. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh yes, many have been willing to follow, only to discover that they did not know how. Somehow for them, heaven didn't open. And the miracle of grace didn't enter their lives at all. They didn't see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And we must say why. Because they made the same mistake that Peter made. When he learned that Jesus was leaving, he pleaded, "Let me go with you." And the Master replied, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards." But why? Why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for you, for thy sake. There you have the mistake. The mistake that has separated man from God. The same world mind that deceived our brilliant thinkers, that deceived us, is deceiving us now if we yearn to follow Jesus. We long to sit at his feet and listen to his words, and gladly we would sell all that we have to touch the hem of his consciousness. But what we have overlooked, just like Peter, is that it was not Jesus who said, "Follow me." It was Christ. Not Jesus, the visible man, but Christ, the invisible spirit. And because time is an illusion, the words weren't spoken in the past. They're being spoken now in every soul. Now, Christ in you, the living Son of God, is saying within you, "Follow me, for my kingdom is at hand. Follow me. I alone have the power to break the world dream. Follow me. I alone can teach you how to magnify the Father. I can teach you how to manifest God's work. I am the way. I am the resurrection from the illusion of this world to the reality that stands here invisible to human sense. I am your life. Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For whoever follows me will find God, whom to know aright is life eternal." Billions of human sleepwalkers do not hear that voice within. And so they have no choice but to ignore the truth that dissolves the confusion of human life And they turn to human authorities who reach into the world mind and bring forth their slicked up versions of the same superficial human logic that has trapped mankind for centuries beyond count. As we find our center and live in it, letting the images of the world go by, we become aware that there is a divine plan. The same divine plan can come through anyone on earth. Scientist, educator, economist, government bureaucrat. It would make no difference if one would live in the now center, unmoved by the images of the mind, we would discover that God, the only creator, has a working plan for his creation. Every religious authority on earth who has been busy with his dogma, human opinions, and vague generalities has walked right by this living plan of God in the midst of himself. And I think even our metaphysical churches have backed away from pure Christ truth for the simple reason that it makes a demand that frightens the human mind. We have certain kinds of courage. We can tighten our belts. We can suffer through crises and shortages of that kind. Oh, and we have the courage to send our children to war. We can endure pain, and we're mighty willing to share with the underprivileged. We're willing to love our neighbors, even to forgive those who despitefully use us. But we refuse to follow Christ. We prefer to live in this world with its good and with its evil. We think it's safer. And we prefer the safety of human comforts. We're afraid to obey Christ. We want to live in matter. We want to talk about spirit. We savor the sweetness of our own desires, and we labor for the fulfillment of those desires, always forgetting that human flesh cannot follow Christ. Flesh cannot follow spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When Christ commands, follow me, it does not mean follow me as flesh, but rather it means leave your concept of flesh and follow me. Follow me beyond the boundaries of human flesh. Drop your garment of mortal flesh. Follow me behind the veil, behind matter. Follow me as spirit into the kingdom of spirit. No human being can follow Christ. The failure of man to follow Christ beyond the boundaries of flesh is the cause of all human suffering. That's why we have lack upon the earth and limitations. That's why we have diseases and disasters and discords. That's why we have destruction and decay. That's why we have death itself. Because until we follow Christ, we are rejecting Christ. And by this unknowing rejection, we are separated from the bread of life. Follow me. Do you hear this voice within you? It is always there. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Your light will draw all men unto you. We're no longer hunting for fish to eat. We're not hunting for the things of this world. We are accepting that Christ alone takes us into the treasures of the Father's house, into those qualities of the Father which are the eternal qualities of man, into life without end, into peace without discord, into love without hate, without fear, without influence, without partiality. Into the peace of the heart, of the soul. The peace in which all that is of God flows without limitation. The doorway of Christ leads into infinity. Follow me. There is a quality of truth that flows only from God through Christ into the human consciousness, dissolving the human consciousness, uniting us with the one infinite perfect consciousness, which expresses only divine perfection. It does not heal starvation on earth or disease or lack or limitation. It reveals the abundance that is ever existent. It reveals the peace where war appears to human sense minds. It reveals life where man experiences death. The revealing truth of the Father through Christ in you is salvation. It is the pure fountain, direct from the Father to the Son. Ignore it, and we walk in the darkness. But it is a dream darkness, for the Father is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. We walk in the darkness of opposites, of good today and evil tomorrow, of changing matter, changing material images. And then the world authorities descend upon us with their serpent's minds. Interpreting the universe for us through a glass darkly. We're not going to move into 1978 with the albatross of world thought on our back. We have a rare opportunity in this age of enlightenment to restore the lost years of the locusts. Each of us. That is why this is such a precious opportunity to join hands, to stand, to behold the ever-presence of Christ where the world sees the dragon. Instead of Christ's truth, man has been following the illusion of truth. Instead of Christ's dominion, man has been suffering through the illusion of dominion. And instead of Christ's life, man has been living the illusion of life. But we cannot continue to pay lip service to the presence of God. The time has come for divine works. To do the works of God is our function. To demonstrate the presence of God, to reveal the light that is hidden from the mind of man. It is our function to reveal the unreality of war, of flood, of drought, of world starvation, to reveal that Christ's truth can feed the hungry, can still the fury of the tempest. And can give us living waters that man may never thirst again. It is our opportunity to demonstrate that the creation of God is not like human flesh that ages, decays, deteriorates, and perishes. It is our opportunity to show that human lives need not be under the influence of men, controlled by dream conditions. It is our responsibility to reverse the procedure of most people on this earth who serve human life first and God second. It is our precious privilege to explain one of the strange phenomena that has trapped humanity. Think of it, no matter how hard man tries, he cannot control his life. He cannot control the flow of both good and evil. He cannot control world crime, hate, corruption, greed, fear, alcohol, drugs, broken homes, aging, aching bodies. Oh, he goes through the motions. He pretends that he's in the driver's seat. But actually, he's in bondage to forces he neither can see nor understand. The cold, hard fact is that the human race does not have the capacity to control its life. And you know why. We are at the mercy of forces that we cannot see. We are living lives that we cannot control for one simple reason. We have been trying to control a dream. It can't be done. For centuries, we have been trying to control the dream called human life, and that is why, regardless of how brilliant our thinkers are, the solutions fall apart. Even when they seem to succeed, they fail. Problems change shape while you're looking at them. And so we move from one dream to another, from one dream incarnation to another, and from the dream of death to another dream of death. Until we are listening for that voice. Until deep within the inner sanctuary of our being, the Son of God says, "Follow me, for I and my Father are one." It is very probable that an hour or two ago, the word God was not on your mind. It's very probable that there were many times during this day and through yesterday and the day before when the presence of God was not on your mind. It's very probable that this morning when you awoke, the first thing on your mind was not the presence of God. Why don't you make a New Year's resolution? One that you really can keep. One that really will change your life to the point that all other previous resolutions will be nothing compared to this one. When you awaken now, in the morning, bring the Word of God into your conscious mind. God. Now, do you think it's too difficult to take that with you for the next 10 minutes and only think of God, some facet of God? God is present. No matter what I see or hear, God is present. I can rest with the assurance that God is here. And therefore I can say to the emotions that flow through me or the thoughts or the doubts or the fears or even the desires. Slow down, little friend. Leave it in God's hands. God is here. And an hour from now, wherever I am, God is here will be the same truth, the same reality. There's no place I'm going to walk today or drive today or work today or breathe today where the truth that God is here is going to disappear. It can only disappear out of my consciousness, but it will be true nonetheless. And if I am conscious of it, my life today will be entirely different. It will be the perfect expression of God. Now, the resolution that I suggest you make is this. Whether you realize it or not, human flesh serves itself. It does not serve God. If we live in the flesh, we are thinking, consciously or otherwise, about our form. And how to preserve that form and pleasure that form and show off that form. Even persuading ourselves that while doing these things, we are in some way serving God. Let's leave that to the millions who do not know that God has no opposite. Let us not pretend to ourselves that human flesh is a miniature reflection of God. There are too many people in hospitals who have made that mistake. God is, and there is no other. Spirit is, and there is no other. Now let us keep our consciousness on reality. Not just tomorrow morning when we awaken, but every morning. And not 10 minutes and then off we go into some other consciousness. I have said, follow me, says the Christ. And that means follow me eternally, without ceasing. To pray without ceasing means to follow me without ceasing. To be conscious of God without ceasing is your New Year's resolution, and should have been your New Year's resolution for every year that you have walked on this earth. And so in the year 1978, it's about time to cross out all of the years in which we did not live in total awareness at all times that God is here without opposite. When you do this, you are following Christ. Because Christ is always conscious of God. Is there a moment when Christ is unconscious of God if I and the Father are one? Is Christ unconscious? Do you see that if we are not conscious of God, we are unconscious? And if we are unconscious of God, how can the activity of God express itself in us when the door is shut? Again, God is here. And this may be one of the most difficult things you have ever tried to do, because the world mind in you has other ideas. The world mind in you wants to run you from your toes to your head. It knows that it put your fleshly body on this earth as an appearance. It has been the boss many years. It's not going to yield very easily or very gracefully. And it's going to take quite an activity of conscious thought on your part to remember and to apply that remembrance. God is here. I want to stress that because there will be times as you move through the world images when you cannot find solutions. You rack your brain. You dig to the depth of your conscious thought and nothing comes. You're overwhelmed. And you're down a long corridor with no exits, wondering what in the world you're going to do about it. When I travel down that long corridor, if I get trapped into it, the only thing that removes those walls and lets in the light is the knowledge and the trust and the joy that God is here. And only God is here. And with that realization bursting across your consciousness into conviction, into true spiritual awareness, into that blessed peace which releases you, from the hypnosis of fear and frustration and helplessness, there comes the invisible hosts and you can sit back without moving your thumb in the knowledge that God is here. All is perfect. Everything that seems wrong, everything is pure illusion without substance or law, without even a person through which it can operate. Just hanging there in the air, a dream image, very complicated, very fearsome, but only God is here. Let's put that as our number one resolution for 1978. Let's be still with it now as we quietly accept this instruction from the Master who says, follow me.